Thank you, John Gakandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, June 10th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Opposition parties have described as repugnant remarks by President Mugabe that he will deal with some so-called wayward war veterans like dissidents of the 1980s.
I think it's very unfortunate that he should say that about something that he knows very well what created it and exactly what happened. It's something that still remains to be resolved in this country.
Activists occupying Africa Unity Square, accused of allegedly attempting to rob some Harare residents, have each been granted $1,000 bail each.
We went to court today where my five clients are facing two charges, the first one being of robbery and the other one obstructing or defeating the course of justice.
And boxing legend Muhammad Ali is set to be laid to rest today. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Opposition parties have condemned President Mugabe for saying that he will deal with war veterans racing for his succession, the same way the government cracked down on dissidents in the 1980s, which resulted in the death of an estimated 20,000 people in the hands of the North Korean-trained 5th Brigade in Matabeleland and Midlands provinces in what was known as Gukurahundi. ZAPU, led by Dumiso Dabengwa and Professor Welshman Ncube's MDC formation, said the president, who uttered the remarks when he addressed the party's Central Committee meeting yesterday, has evoked memories of the 5th Brigade atrocities. Dabengwa told Studio 7's Gibbs Dube that it's unfortunate that Mr. Mugabe is uttering such remarks at a time the Gukurahundi massacres have not yet been resolved.
I don't want to get involved in their wars. I belong to the Zipra War Veterans Association. I suppose he's talking about the Zimbabwe Liberation War Veterans Association, which is a ZANU war veterans body, and they've got their differences.
When somebody actually refers to dissidents and, you know, things like that, is there anything that comes into your mind?
Well, I suppose he's talking about the Gukurahundi issues, which he has referred to, apparently, in his remarks. I think it's very unfortunate that he should say that about something that he knows very well what created it and exactly what happened. It's something that still remains to be resolved in this country. That's why there is Peace and Reconciliation Commission, which is supposed to be dealing with those issues. And I don't think that he should be making those remarks at this stage, when everybody in the country is looking for a way forward in trying to resolve those Gukurahundi issues.
That was ZAPU leader Dumiso Dabengwa. Professor Welshman Ncube, leader of one of the MDC formations, echoed the same sentiments, noting that war veterans are also to blame for attracting such a sharp rebuke from President Mugabe.
The first wrong in these salvos has been committed by that clique of war veterans, which thinks that we are all their slaves. They own the people of Zimbabwe. They can dictate it to us. So in that context, of course, Mugabe is right to condemn them. And however, what he's wrong about is to then draw the analogy to Gukurahundi.
So now, when somebody talks about 5th Brigade atrocities, how do you feel?
Well, to every Zimbabwean who is peace-loving, to every Zimbabwean who cherishes the life and dignity of each citizen, any mention, any discussion of Gukurahundi in a cavalier attitude as Mugabe did should be hurtful, should be painful, because the wounds, the scars are still fresh. Very few people, if any, did not experience firsthand directly the brutality of the 5th Brigade. Very few people did not lose a sister, a brother, a relative of one form or another during that tragic part of our history.
And that was Professor Welshman Ncube, leader of one of the MDC formations, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. We also reached the war veteran Maxim Kandler for his take on this issue.
He's actually opening new wounds. He is not the right person who can talk about the so-called unleashing terror to people like what he did to dissidents. Yet he actually, the same person, same lips, same mouth, he said that time it was a time of madness or a moment of madness. And then the same person, the same leader, the same lips, the same mouth is now happily saying he will unleash a reign of terror to crush the war veterans.
Have you shared ideas about this statement by President Mugabe with other war veterans, and what are they saying about this?
Really, I really spoke to some of the war veterans who are still in ZANU-PF, actually representing ZANU-PF in their structures, as well as backing ZANU-PF in all the campaigns. I just got a moment of sharing the discussion. And then they say to me, their feelings is that they've already decided to make sure that Mnangagwa takes over from Mugabe come election 2018. And then they are saying they are not actually moved.
That was war veteran Maxim Kandler speaking with Studio 7. We were unable to get comment from war veterans led by Chris Mutswangwa, said to be backing a faction of the party which wants Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa to succeed Mr. Robert Mugabe. The other faction is allegedly led by First Lady Grace Mugabe. The two say they don't have any presidential ambitions. Five members of the Occupy Africa Unity Square who were arrested while staging an anti-government protest have each been granted $1,000 bail for allegedly attempting to rob some people in Harare and obstructing the course of justice. As Thomas Chiripasi reports, some opposition parties have resolved to join the day and night vigils in a park near the parliament building to protest against social, economic and political problems in Zimbabwe.
Five activists arrested on Wednesday, Patson Zamara, Pride Mukono, Tatenda Mombearara, Makomborero Haruzivishe, and another, only identified as Oliver, were arrested at the Africa Unity Square Park while staging an anti-government protest as part of the activities to mark 16 days of activism. Their lawyer, Obey Shava of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, told Studio 7 that Magistrate Vakai Chikwekwe ordered each of them to deposit a total of $1,000 in bail money for the two offenses. Shava said the bail money that the activists were ordered to pay was tantamount to denying them bail.
The money which they were asked to deposit as bail fees are quite exorbitant. In effect, it's tantamount to having been denied bail. My clients have not accepted this ruling. They take it to mean that they effectively they've been denied bail. And I was still consulting. We might find ourselves appealing against the magistrate's ruling.
Shava said 10 more protesters were arrested yesterday and are being detained at Harare Central Police Station.
As of yesterday at 9 p.m., no formal charge had been laid against them.
Meanwhile, some occupants of the Africa Unity Square complained that the bail money that their colleagues were ordered to pay by the court was too much. One of the occupants, Joanna Mamombe, told a news conference that the bail was outrageous.
So it is with a sad heart to be gathered here in Africa Unity Square?
At the same time, 13 opposition parties have resolved to join the protesters at the Africa Unity Square. General Secretary of the MDCT Youth Assembly, Lovemore Chinoputsa, says his party wing met today and unanimously agreed to join the protest, which he described as a winter of discontent.
We have joined today in solidarity with the masses of Zimbabwe we have gathered in this Unity Square to demand the resignation of Robert Gabriel Mugabe, to demand that ZANU-PF should ensure that there is food on the table of many Zimbabweans.
This was echoed by Elvis Mugari, a member of Tendai Biti's People's Democratic Party Youth Wing.
So I'm sending this message, a clear message to the government of Zimbabwe, a clear message to Robert Mugabe and his government that you have failed. And this is high time you should go.
Some civil society organizations have also joined the protest. Obey Stole of the Zimbabwean Formal Sector Organization urged other Zimbabweans to come to the park in their numbers to show their disapproval of President Mugabe's government.
We are going to continue occupying this square all the days of our lives and all the nights of our lives.
Riot police have been maintaining a heavy presence around the park as youths calling themselves Tajamuka were also trickling into the park. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, some members of the Zimbabwe Activist Alliance, in conjunction with other civic groups, say they are bringing their sleep-in protests to Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo. Correspondent Taurai Shava brings us more from Bulawayo.
A member of the Zimbabwe Activist Alliance, Gift Ostalos Siziba, told Studio 7 that some activists will start sleeping in the car park at the city hall starting tonight until the 16th of this month. Siziba said the activists, mainly composed of young Zimbabweans, have decided to bring to Bulawayo the protest, which started in Harare at the beginning of this month, as a way of trying to increase awareness among ordinary Zimbabweans about the need to show their discontent to government in a peaceful manner.
I've faced the national crisis at a personal level, and therefore that's why we're occupying as young people, regardless of political parties, to make our demands categorically clear without any equivocation or ambiguity.
Persuade Jenna, a Bulawayo youth who said he's going to take part in the demonstration, said he was not afraid about possible arrest or harassment by state security agents, adding that last night's arrest of activists in Harare was increasing his resolve to participate in the protest in solidarity with his comrades. Jenna said he was taking part out of his own volition and was not expecting any form of payment.
It's very voluntary. People are coming at their own will. No one is paid to do anything. I, for myself, I think I'm a clear witness on that. I'm going to be there tonight on my personal will. No one is paying me to do anything. No one is even giving me the chase because this is winter and it's very cold, but I'm going to be there.
Zimbabwe Activists Alliance, in collaboration with other organizations, started a peaceful protest by occupying Africa Unity Square in Harare from the first of this month to press President Robert Mugabe's government to address serious issues affecting the nation. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. That biblical verse from the book of Matthew rings true even for Tandiwe Ngwenya, a Zimbabwean civilian peacemaker in war-torn South Sudan. Ngwenya works for the international group Nonviolent Peace Force and is one of the nearly 60 Zimbabwean youths due in the United States next week for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. She tells Studio 7 reporter Ntungamili Nkomo why the fellowship matters for her and why she chose to put her life in harm's way in Sudan.
I am honored and I feel incredibly excited and delighted because it came at the best time possible when I was at the intersection of my skills and also strength. I couldn't have dreamed of a better opportunity. I feel deeply honored.
You are a peacekeeper and you are in South Sudan. Tell us more about your job. What exactly do you do?
The main mandate of Nonviolent Peace Force is to broaden the concept of nonviolence. And we do this through what we call civilian protection. So it's about stopping violence through use of a wide range of strategies. And these strategies are armed and it involves a lot of influencing, a lot of negotiation, a lot of relationship building with a different or a diverse range of actors. Done without use of reliance on weapons, and it's based on prioritizing also the building of relationships within the community.
And why is peacekeeping so important to you?
I'm mostly passionate about peacekeeping because personally I find it fulfilling, I find it unique, challenging as well because we work in extremely hard conditions. It's challenging but worthwhile. And we do make an impact or change the lives of civilians who are affected by conflict.
And how do you hope to benefit from the Mandela Washington Fellowship?
Through the Mandela Washington Fellowship, I'm looking forward to meeting and working with like-minded fellows with a passion for learning and developing themselves professionally. And also, I want to expand my network and also strengthen my leadership skills. And I'm looking forward also to see what I can bring to the table. So basically, it's a platform to develop as I interact with fellows.
That was Mandela Washington Fellow Thandiwe Ngwenya, a civilian peacemaker working for the international organization Nonviolent Peace Force in Sudan. Coming up, we have a discussion on President Mugabe's long stay in office. Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. Thousands of people chanting Ali are lining the streets of the hometown of the most famous American Muslim ever today to say goodbye to boxing legend Muhammad Ali, who died last Friday at the age of 74. Ali's cherry red casket draped in an Islamic shroud was placed in a hearse that is taking the body past the sites that were important to him. Ali will be buried in a private service at the Cave Hill Cemetery, which is on the National Register of Historic Places. Former heavyweight boxing champions Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis are among the pallbearers for a memorial service, which will be televised from a sports arena in Louisville. Ali family spokesman Bob Gunnell said that Tyson was a late addition after finding out a prior commitment would not prevent him from attending.
One addition to the pallbearer list, late last night, we had offered and asked this person to be a pallbearer. He could not. He changed his plans, called Lonnie, and said, I'm taking a red eye and I'll be there. He arrives at 9 a.m., I think, or so this morning. So he'll join us a little bit late, but Mike Tyson is going to be added as a pallbearer.
That was Bob Gunnell, a spokesman for the Muhammad Ali family.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On May 30th, a special court in Senegal delivered a guilty verdict against former Chadian president Hissène Habré. He was found to be responsible for numerous war crimes and crimes against humanity, including torture, rape, sexual slavery, and the murder of as many as 40,000 people, and sentenced to spend the rest of his life in prison. Hissène Habré became president of Chad in 1982 when his anti-government rebel group seized N'Djamena, the country's capital, overthrew the elected government and appointed Habré as head of state. For the next 8 years, Habré and his cohort, including the much-feared secret police, conducted large-scale human rights abuses, including detention, torture, and murder. The regime particularly hounded members of ethnic groups that Habré saw as political rivals, frequently arresting their leaders en masse, and from time to time engaged in ethnic cleansing tactics against them. 8 years after he came to power, Hissène Habré was deposed and fled to Senegal. It took 25 years of hard work on the part of human rights groups and his victims to bring him to trial in a process that could signal a turning point for international justice in Africa. The trial, conducted by the specially created Extraordinary African Chambers, marked the first time an African Union-backed court convicted a former ruler for human rights abuses, and the first time that the courts of one country have prosecuted the former ruler of another country for crimes against humanity. This ruling is a landmark in the global fight against impunity for atrocities, including war crimes and crimes against humanity, said Secretary of State John Kerry in a written statement. The United States strongly commends the Senegalese government, the Chadian government, and the African Union for creating the extraordinary African chambers that allowed for a fair and balanced trial, and we especially salute the nearly 100 victims of the accused who testified against him. In the words of Secretary of State Kerry, let this be a message to other perpetrators of mass atrocities, even those at the highest levels and including former heads of state, that such actions will not be tolerated and they will be brought to justice.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Yesterday, we ran a heated discussion on calls by some ZANU-PF Youth League members for President Robert Mugabe to rule until he dies in office, with MDCT spokesperson Obed Gudu saying such utterances are frivolous and meant to prop up an aged Zimbabwean leader. Gudu further stressed that it's time for President Mugabe to leave office as he's struggling to properly run Zimbabwe at the age of 92. But ZANU-PF UK chairperson Nick Mangwana dismissed Gutu's remarks, saying the people of Zimbabwe can only determine the president's fate in the ballot box. In this second edition of a two-part interview pitting the two, this evening we are focusing on constitutional provisions governing the presidential seat, with specific emphasis on President Mugabe's rule and calls for him to either stay or leave office. Mangwana says Mr. Mugabe is currently exercising his constitutional right and his future will be shaped by the supreme law of the land.
Mr. Gute and I are two people here, just two people. There are over nearly 7 million registered voters in Zimbabwe. So we're simply saying, let's go back to the 7 million voters in 2018 when the time is up. According to the Constitution, we both, Mr. Gute and I, we both respect the Constitution. So let's just go back to the to what the Constitution prescribes. And we do that. That's all. That's all we're asking for.
So I think, Mr. Gudu, you can hear him. He's very clear about the Constitution. What does it say about the president staying in office?
Now, of course, we all know that our Constitution has no age limit regarding the president. I mean, you can be president, I mean, at whatever age, which is unfortunate. But anyway, that is what the Constitution says. Our argument is saying, look, Mr. Mugabe is soon going to be 93. He's going to be 93 in early 2017, in February 2017. Look, he's an old man. If you look at him today, you actually feel pity for him to say, this is the man whom people are saying he should continue leading ZANU-PF. This is the man whom people are saying he should continue leading Zimbabwe. This is not fair. They are punishing the old man. So for some of us who are genuine patriots, some of us in the MDC, who genuinely love Zimbabwe, we are saying Mr. Mugabe should actually step down. Look at the economy now. Everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. Right now, people are spending endless hours in this bitterly cold weather, queuing for the little money in their banks, and they can't even access their $20, $50, because there's no money. They can't virtually run out of money. And you are saying, look, there's no way that Mr. Mugabe, in that form of health, he can extricate Zimbabwe from the present, from the prevailing socio-economic catastrophe. The best that we can do for the nation is to retire him, one, and also to retire his whole cabinet. They've all proved that they are not fit for purpose. They are corrupt. Them corrupt. We want a new government, a government that cares about the people, a government that will make sure that Zimbabwe's economy is stabilized and that the country is taken to the next level, not to remain a hell or what it is now. No. We say no to that as the MD.
Mr. Mangwana, your last word and the way forward here.
My last word is very simple. The people of Zimbabwe are known for their high literacy. They are also known for their high numeracy. In 2013, they knew that Mr. Mugabe was 89 years old. They at least can add 5 to 89, which would have given them 94. So they knew that how old he would be by this time. But they still said, we want him as he is. So he has got that term. Let's not subvert the Constitution. He has got the term. 2018, the decisions he are saying, if you are seeing that the man is withered and tired and whatever you say, that's the whole point of going back to the people to say, do you renew the mandate or not? If the people say, no, we cannot renew this mandate, fine. But if the people say, as he is, let's go, then let's go.
And then your last word as well, Mr. Gudu, but I would like you to focus mainly on the constitutional provisions. What happens when Mr. Mugabe serves his last term right now, and for how long can he still remain in power?
Because, as you know, he's in his first term. So, yes, he's entitled if he wants to. if his party nominates him to run for 2018, then PF every day we read in the news, we hear on radio that they say Mr. Mugabe is going to be their candidate for 2018 if he's available. But we are saying, fine, he's available for his second and last term if he's still available physically. But then they should look at the men's health. They should look at the country's requirements. Is this what Zimbabwe needs? We don't want them to punish the old men. One, we don't want them to continue to have the economy go, to total ruin. What we want is to have a person who is young enough, who is energetic enough to be able to take control of this mighty nation. Mr. Mugabe has proved that he's way too old and that the burdens of running the matters of state are too much for him at that age. Look, the man has had his time. 36 years is not a joke. He was prime minister when he was 56. I am not even 56 myself. And look, he has been there for the almost 40 years. We are saying, look, he has had his time. Thank you very much, Comrade Mugabe. Please go to Zimba, or better still, go to Gushungo Estate and watch your cows being milked. Enjoy your retirement.
I'll allow you to have the final word, Mr. Mangwana.
We are not looking for sympathies from the MDC. They should focus on their leader. They this extension of empathy to our president and this interference by Comrade Gute and the rest to say, ZANU-PF, why don't you choose another one? That's already surrendering the 2018 election. Because if they knew they would win, they would not worry about our candidates. They would focus on theirs. But they are focusing on ours because they know whoever ZANU-PF puts there will win.
Look, ZANU-PF last won a free and fair election, if I remember well, I think in 1995. ZANU-PF ever since that time has been rigging elections. 2000 elections, rigged. 2002 elections, rigged. 2008 elections, rigged. 2013 elections, the mother of all rigging.
And that was MDCT spokesman Obed Gudu. You also heard from Nick Mangwana, ZANU-PF UK chairperson. Both spoke to Studio 7 Skips Dube. And finally, in sports news, it's a busy football weekend as Zimbabwe's Warriors shift focus to the COSAFA Castle Cup. Reporter Michael Kariati gives us the story.
Warriors Kaliso Pasua, Aga Simukan Squadra Take Taka Simbisisa, Kusanganisa Elisha Mruiwa, Tatenda Mkurua, and Life. Warriors Kaliso Pasua, Aga Simukan Squadra Take Taka Simbisisa, Kusanganisa Elisha Mruiwa, Tatenda Mkurua, and Life Repi, Danipiri, Avovalem Squadra.
Sorry about that mix-up. Remember, stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today when our host Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners about President Mugabe's remarks that he will deal with some so-called wayward war veterans like dissidents of the 1980s during the Gukurahundi era. The war veterans want Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa to succeed him. You can send a WhatsApp message on 001-202-465-0318 and we'll call you right back. And now to recap today's top stories. Opposition parties have described as repugnant remarks by President Mugabe that he will deal with some so-called wayward war veterans like dissidents of the 1980s. Activists occupying Africa Unity Square, accused of allegedly attempting to rob some Harare residents, have each been granted $1,000. That's it for tonight. Now, please do stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Chris Gande wishing you a very restful weekend ahead.